Blog Talk Radio.
When was the last time you got to be 100% real, y'all? I don't want y'all holding back nothing.
On my Timberlands, stepping like a criminal. Success is so imminent. Pink champagne, black Rolls Royce, eggplant, double-breasted suit from Tom Ford. Bon voyage, left pages in the fog. Look up in the sky, bet you recognize a boss. Look into my eyes as I fantasize for us. Still acting shy like this is upper class crush. Money coming fast, I'm never in a rush, no. Plus another 20 in a tuck. Send me in a truck, another 40 on the wrist. Bought a meal on my mind, got me living like I pitch. Dodger Robin Gibbons, ballin' like I'm Roger Clemens. Still in a game uniform, all in it. She gets Chanel, ski trips to Vail. Only the highest grade, like trees that I inhale.
Good
Last 6 Minutes Sports, yours truly, Vincent Moore, better known as Vinny Moore to many of you. Once again on the ride, the fastest 60 Minutes in Sports rolls ahead. Lots of craziness going on. Derek Jeter returns to Yankees lineups, and what does he do on the first pitch he sees? He homers. There is a Yankee icon yet happening right in front of you. For those of you who can remember the big Yankee days of the 40s, 50s, maybe 60s, bless you if you're still around. But if you can remember the days of the Mantles and Yogi Berras and the great teams the Yankees had and all the stars that that generation got to witness, you are witnessing one right now in Derek Jeter. And despite the injuries, this man has altered life. I mean, his dating list of people he socialized with in his life is, well, let's just say it's to die for in most cases. Anyway, welcome in once again, 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747 if you want to join the ride. The fastest 60-minute sports ruling on. The NFL is right around the corner. For those of you anxious about NFL football, I mean, a lot of you have been blessed with the talents of the CFL so far, since that season is easily 4 or 5 weeks in already. And again, it's a lot of fun. It's not quite the NFL, but it is a tremendous game, a lot of excitement. Of course, we broadcast today from Calgary in the south portions of Chinook, and we've had a chance to hang around with the Calgary Stampeders, and at 3-1 and a lot of fun. That's a talented team. A team, of course, last year went to the Grey Cup, lost to the Alouettes in the bowl, but looking to certainly put a surge on and get back to that level. A different game. Size of the field a little different. Dimensions are a little different. Game full of a lot of motion. But, again, once that ball is snapped, it's still football. You still got to tackle. You still got to throw. You still got to hand off. You still got to run. And you certainly still have to catch the football and you still have to try to score. It's a lot of fun. So, kudos to our Chicago Blackhawks in Middle Earth down there. As you all know, from Chicago, a Chicago kid, Chicago native, born and raised in the little town of Galesburg, Illinois, just south of Galesburg, but I spent the majority of my adulthood there. And humbly telling you to your face, a Blackhawks fan to his soul, loving it. Ordered my brand new 2013 Stanley Cup Championship coat, just waiting for that thing to arrive and sport that. And it's fun because in the 2010 coat, which was awesome, I don't know how you can improve upon that, but I'd be content if it was just match that. And the only thing you change is the number to 2013. That would be awesome if you could do that. Anyway, told you about Derek Jeter, first pitch home run. Let you get you updated on all the scores around Major League Baseball. Update on the NASCAR race that's currently going on, as well as want to talk about the NFL. And I don't know if we really want to go down this road, guys, of, you know, 32 teams, 32 weeks, because we're going to go right into the season. But certainly we can probably condense this thing and maybe do, 3 or 4 weeks to get all the teams all at one time and see what we can make happen. That's probably the easiest thing for us to do in terms of getting them all in. Get friends in Philadelphia anxious to know what the fallout of the Jeremy Maclin injury is going to do with that team. That's big. That is huge. Do not minimize the impact of that injury. I know a lot of people believe DeSean Jackson is the guy, but there's reason to be concerned if you're in Philadelphia this year. Chip Kelly has designed that offense around a stable approach, and without Maclin, well, it's not as if they're without players to throw to, certainly, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. In the meantime, let's see, run down your balls right now. A 4-3 lead over the Yankees. Texas and Cleveland scoreless in the bottom of the fourth. Houston and Toronto, bottom three, no score. Philly, a 1-0 lead over Detroit. Pitt, a 2-1 lead over Miami. Boston, a 1-0 lead over Baltimore. The Nationals, a 1-0 lead over the Mets. Royals and White Sox scoreless. Destiny's just getting started. The rest of the games are about another 2 hours, 3 hours away. Tonight's baseball on ESPN, St. Louis at Atlanta. That game will come your way at 8:05 Eastern time. In the meantime, it is Major League Baseball. Again, the Derek Jeter return. And again, this is apropos for Derek Jeter. You come back, you're definitely the icon on the team. You're the icon of the organization. You're the toast of the city of New York. And what do? You hit a home run your first pitch. Can you say first ballot Hall of Famer? Okay, and the Yankees have always historically had those guys. I mean, Mariano Rivera will be a first ballot. He's not making it on the first ballot for whatever reason, because of the steroid question marks, because of questionable behavior, substance abuses, and so on. Alex Rodriguez will someday be in the Hall of Fame. Will he be a first ballot Hall of Famer? Probably not. And it won't be for lack of numbers, because he's got the numbers. It will definitely be because of societal pressures and decisions he's made outside the game of baseball that certainly have affected the perspective of the writers who vote for those guys that get to the Hall of Fame. So moving on past that to NASCAR. It is 10 past the hour, wherever you're at in this world. The NASCAR scene, let's give you an update. Lap 51. Which race is this, guys? Oh, this is the Brickyard 400 in Indianapolis. So they're actually racing on the same track as the Indy 500, for those of you who've ever been to Indianapolis. It's called a Brickyard because the start-finish line literally is bricks. It's laid with bricks. And so, lap 51, Jimmy Johnson's your current leader, Ryan Newman second, Carl Edwards, my guy, third, number four, Tony Stewart, number five, Juan Pablo Montoya, it's good to see him back in the top 10, Jeff Gordon is number six, Ken's the seventh, Kurt Busch number eight, Casey Kane nine, Kyle Busch 10, and a plethora of guys still on the lead lap in that case. If you've never watched a NASCAR race on TV, it might be kind of hard if you're looking for instant kind of impact, unless you see a crash, of course. But the strategy that goes into a NASCAR race is really, really, really cool. If you're into strategic games of any kind where you see people having to set things up and just when to do things, what time and how timing plays into it, you could really, really learn to love NASCAR. And that's actually what happened to me. I went to PIR, which is the Phoenix International Raceway, one year, and got to see that mile-and-a-half oval fully lit up live with NASCAR racing on it. We saw the Busch Series race first, and then the NASCAR race on that Sunday. There is nothing I've ever experienced compares to 42 vehicles, each one with 700-plus horsepower, coming around turn four to that start-finish line. When he drops that green flag and everyone revs those engines, the earth begins to move, the stands begin to shake. That is just impressive, is probably an understatement. It really is. It's an understatement. But when the stands start to shake and the fences start to shake, and this is before any accident, anything's ever gone wrong, it's just that the world suddenly underneath you is moving at the rumble of these engines. And they're coming down that coming out of turn four into that start-finish area. And, I mean, it's just the world is shaking. And fans are going nuts because those who've experienced this know what's about to happen. And the race is just on. From the lead guy to the 42nd car, it's just on. How to deal with turn one, turn two, turn three, how to deal with back straightaways. Now, as you can tell, I'm a fan. I am a true fan. I'm a nothing short of phenomenal, all right? And we have a change in the leaderboard as I'm talking to you. Well, Jimmy Johnson was one. Now we got my guy Carl Edwards is now leading in lap 54. Jimmy Johnson is now second. Juan Pablo Montoya, three. Tony Stewart, four. Jeff Gordon, five. And that's the fun part about it. Again, at any point, any moment, whether it's yellow flag because an engine's blown or someone's clipped a wall or there's been an accident or just strategy, it's so much fun. And again, it's 3 hours. Yes, it's 3 hours a lot of times of guys turning left, but there is so much strategy. And again, trying to push those engines to the limits of the rules and trying to get the most out of them and trying to get the most out of the aerodynamics. It's such great strategies. You know, if you love strategy games, you've got to love NASCAR. You got to love NASCAR. Anyway, before someone tells me to get off NASCAR's tip, because I know that's what's coming next, 619-477. Again, 619-477. If you want to join the conversation, what did we just do? What just happened? Oh, okay, we're good. All right, let's talk National Football League, because this is going to take a little bit of time, and I'm being kind here. As you all know, every year for the last 3 years, we give you picks. We give you reasons, justifications. They've been called the VIN picks for years, and they'll be called the VIN picks this year again. And we'll probably be about 69 to 70% accurate again. I'm not a gambler, a heavy-duty gambler. I mean, I have my fun with the sports book, and yes, I've done well. But I temper it because I don't ever want to get so caught up or so enthralled with, you know, the chance of making significant amounts of money or, you know, just really get off my square with what my priorities in life are. So, but I will tell you this. There is about to be a surprise in the National Football League this coming season. And uniquely enough, it may come from Chicago. By the way, but we're not going to talk about the Bears right now. We're going to, because that'll be the whole Mark Trestman effect and what he's doing with Jay Cutler and what he's doing with that offense. And the Bears, if the Bears' defense is what it was last year to any degree, It's going to be a lot of fun in Chicago this year. It's going to be a lot of fun on the lakefront. You're not going to want to be the opposing team coming in there, especially when the weather starts to turn cold, that breeze off that lakefront, that lake effect snow. And if you know how the Bears historically have done, as much as Green Bay has owned Chicago in that division, ask Brett Favre about what it is to play off the lakefront in bad weather. You do not want to face a ferocious defense that's after a quarterback, as the Bears should be this year with the new defensive coordinator, the aggressiveness that they're putting in. Now, again, this is not an indictment of what they've had in the past. They went 10-6 last year and didn't make the playoffs, and that was a decent team. A new year, a new regiment, new leadership, and a focus on offensive and scoring points, really. The optimism is that the defense will be good. And I said I wasn't going to talk about the Bears. Look at me. What am I doing? 15:15 past the hour. I said I wasn't going to talk about the Bears. And what am I doing? Talking about the Bears. All right. Today we talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, many of my friends on the East Coast have been pining and bugging me for this. Okay, fine. All right. We're going to talk Philadelphia Eagles, and we're going to do it right now. I told you earlier, fans, not to minimize the impact of Jeremy Maclin's injury. All right. For my buddy Adam Kaplan out on the East Coast, is now confirming that Philadelphia wide receiver Jeremy Maclin tore his ACL in his right knee in practice on Saturday. This means Maclin is probably done for the season. Rotten news not only for Maclin, who was only 1 year, had 1 year left on his contract, and just saw his chance of a big 2014 this aspect in a post earlier Saturday. Check this out. What this means for the Eagles' 2013 chances is also worth discussing, of course, and it's a major blow. You can argue if you like that DeSean Jackson is the Eagles' best wide receiver, but I personally believe that the title goes to Jeremy Maclin, who's more versatile, if not as explosive downfield. And regardless, Jackson and Maclin are both dynamic, speedy receivers who can make special things happen when they get the ball in their hands in space. Surely Chip Kelly's offense was being installed with the idea that he have both of those guys available to him. And yes, the Eagles have large numbers of interesting pass catchers, types on their training camp roster, from wideouts Riley Cooper, Jason Avant, Aurelius Ben, and Damaris Johnson, to tight ends Brent Celek and Zach Ertz. Unless they really feel a need to sign a still-available bargain bin guy such as Brandon Lloyd or take a chance on an Austin Collie, they're likely to attack this problem with volume. And that would make the most sense. That's Chip Kelly's mindset. But this is not a problem that you Maclin is more proven than any of those guys on that list. He is a high-end first-round pick talent. He was entering 2013 with a contract season motivation. There was no one on the current roster who can seamlessly step in and replace what the Eagles believe Maclin could contribute and expected him to contribute for that reason. No matter how you want to rationalize this, it just got more difficult for the Eagles to win games this season. So where do we peg the Eagles? Do we peg them as an 8-win team? I don't think they're going to win the division. I don't know what the Eagles' plans are for the running game, but I don't think. But is a 9-7 Eagles team out of the question? Absolutely not. There is a ton of talent, and again, an Aurelius Ben, who certainly could turn into a Jeremy Maclin, certainly a little faster. May not have the skills for route running, but again, incredibly talented. Let's see, who else do we have in there? Riley Cooper is a good possession receiver. He certainly is a great possession receiver and has some speed. So don't know much about Damaris Johnson, but we know Brent Celek is good. Zach Ertz should be good. Chip Kelly, he's got some talent, and the volume may work in this case if they attack it in that vein. So I don't know. We'll see. It'll be fun to watch. I do not know, and I don't have a lot of faith in first-year head coaches coming into a stagnant system. And, again, he's got Michael Vick as his quarterback. And so he's going to have to get creative there. Having a mobile quarterback is not foreign to Chip Kelly. This is something he's done in the past. He's used to this. So that in and of itself gives him a little bit of a leg up in how to basically approach this. But Philadelphia fans, hold up your head. It won't be the worst thing in the world. I don't know if you're going to be able to stay with the Giants or the Cowboys this year, but it will be fun to see what happens. Let's see. No. To the NFC North. See if we can snag one of these guys. See if there's anything there. All right, from the NFC North, let's talk the Minnesota Vikings. All right. And only because this is probably the best approach to getting to the majority of teams in your markets across this world. On September the 8th, the Minnesota Vikings will line up against the Detroit Lions. This will be a very, very important game. First of all, it's in the division. Second of all, the Lions with Reggie Bush now expect to be better than they were last year, again, missing the playoffs. From Mankato, Minnesota, I won't pretend to select an early training camp standout after watching the Minnesota Vikings' first two practices at Minnesota State University, Mankato says. What I will pass along, however, is the identity of the player that some of the team's most important decision makers are buzzing about. Everson Griffin is a 25-year-old pass rusher on a team with a trio of 3 sacks. Griffin finished last season with a flurry of 4 sacks and a touchdown return during the Vikings' 4-0 finish. And when I asked Coach Leslie Frazier a simple question about his pre-snap positioning over the weekend, I got one of the longest answers Frazier has ever given me. He's just grown so much as a person, Frazier stated. You might remember that Griffin was one of the highest-rated pass rushers in the 2010 draft, but he was available at the Vikings at number 100 overall in the pick because of a well-deserved reputation for immaturity and high maintenance at USC. He didn't record a sack as a rookie, and in February 2011, less than a month after Frazier took over as the team's permanent head coach, Griffin had run of off-field mistakes that nearly ended his tenure with the team. Arrested twice in 3 days and also implicated as the organizer of the Las Vegas party that USC banned its football players from attending. Yeah, that's real good. Anyway, if you want to learn more about Everson Griffin, he's number 97 on the Vikings. He's grown up, 25 years old, strong, talented, quick off the ball. And again, if he can become what the Vikings really truly hope he can become, then the Vikings will have something on defense to go along with Jared Allen and some of the stalwarts that are in the middle of that line. And this could bode well for Minnesota. Again, you've got Adrian Peterson, you've got Greg Jennings on the offensive side of the ball. Christian Ponder should mature a little bit better. He's got some weapons to work with now. We'll see what the Vikings can do. The Vikings did limp into the playoffs last year, and let's just say the NFC North will be a lot of fun. Green Bay is still the class of that division. Greg Jennings most recently came out and, of course, slammed some jarbs at Green Bay's quarterback Aaron Rodgers. That's, again, actually it's not so abnormal anymore, but he wouldn't refer to him as Aaron Rodgers. He just referred to him as 12. So Greg Jennings has had a charmed life. He started his career off with Brett Favre, then went to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, of course, got Greg Jennings. Not a good idea to bite the hand that feeds you. Anyway, let's continue down the NFC North, and let's go to Detroit now. 22 past the hour. Let's see. Detroit running back Reggie Bush runs through drills during the NFL training camp in Allen Park, Michigan. Carlos Cesario, blah, blah, blah. That's just a bunch of photos. The only record Detroit Lions Matthew Stafford is concerned about is the win-loss record. Well, that's a good start. What are these tags to pitchers? Detroit Lions Calvin Johnson would prefer multiple 1,000-yard receivers to another record year. And Dominican Sue focused on football, not a contract. That's a good thing. Not a lot out of Detroit. They're kind of low-key. Yeah. The bulk of the offense is practically an understatement. Johnson's 1,964 receiving yards was 1,000 receiver. Tight end Brandon Pettigrew finished the season with 567 yards. In fact, the closest wide receiver to Johnson, well, go to the full story on that one. That's kind of scary. We knew Calvin was the bulk of their offense, but not like that. Oh, my goodness. And for those of you who have not seen Calvin Johnson play, that is by far the most talented receiver in the game right now. Let's see. Yes, that's why they did. The closest wide receiver to Calvin Johnson was Titus Young. And if you don't know, Google Titus Young and look at all the personal issues that young man's had since then. Yeah. Ooh-wee. Reserves Michael Spurlock and Chris Durham have displayed good hands in Chris route running, but still have to prove themselves before earning a role in the roster. Matt Stafford is very confident. Because, like I said, we had two guys go down, Nate Burleson and Ryan Broyles. That's true. So, such is why he got off to such a big start. Now, Week four this coming season, 9/29, in Detroit against Chicago will be a huge game. There'll be teams that have now at least had three games under their belt. They'll be seasoned. They'll kind of have an idea of what they want to do. That is going to be an absolute huge game. Not to diminish what's going to happen on September 8th against Minnesota, because that's an interdivision game as well. But once you've had some regular season games under your belt and you've kind of found your way, usually by week three, week four, you kind of know who you are and your identity is pretty much clear to the rest of the league. That game on the 29th of September against Chicago will be huge. And again, for Mark Trestman and the Bears, equally huge. And then right after that, there's no bye week. The 6th of October, you're at Green Bay. So it doesn't get any easier for the Lions, and they're going to need talents like Calvin Johnson, certainly Reggie Bush, they're part of last year when he was really, really talented. When you could see all the speed, you could see the explosiveness. If Reggie Bush has the explosiveness that he had when he first went to the Saints fresh out of the draft out of USC, it could be a lot of fun in Detroit. And we're not going to discount what the Lions bring to the table. Now, again, they lost a lot of talent on defense, so the question may come, can they stop anybody? And, again, all those questions and many more will be answered soon enough, September the 8th, as we get into the National Football League. 25, now 26, 26 past the hour on the fastest 60 minutes in sports. And it does, it goes just that quick. All right, let's see. We don't want to talk NHL free agency because they've done what they've done. Blackhawk fans continue to celebrate. How do they celebrate? They celebrate by giving Joel Quenneville a three-year extension with a ton of money. And you know what? He's earned it. He's the coach that's brought them two championships in four seasons. The absolute easiest payday for an organization to make. 3 years extension as the head coach. The college football. The Big Ten conferences between coaches is going on right now, talking about how basically to strategize and get the most out of the conference. It's really not 10 teams now. As you know, all conferences basically are available to organizations nationwide to bid to be part of those conferences. The SEC has grown. The Big 12 is largely dead. I don't know how that's going to bounce back. You probably can't name the 10 teams in the Big 12 without looking it up online. For those of you outside the world of sports that know a little bit about the kind of the personal sides of what's going on in the world of sports from sports players, i.e. the life, you know about the Aaron Hernandez situation with the arrest and the impending charges of murder. I see now that the University of Florida will be removing the Hernandez brick. You got to wonder what happens if Aaron Hernandez is found or is acquitted or found innocent of all charges. Did the knee-jerk reaction to do these things, is it justified? I mean, taking the kid's name off this, cutting him from the organization. I mean, I understand you want to distance yourself from certain things. I do. I get that. I get that wholeheartedly. But I sometimes wonder if we really truly understand the extent of what we're doing in our knee-jerk reactions when we decide that based on everything we've seen, this is our way to go. This is the right way to go. So on the campus of the University of Florida, in the ground, in this area of bricks, is it says first-team All-American 2009 Aaron Hernandez with the Gators logo. Aaron Hernandez played at Florida from 2007 to 2009 and was the SEC's first winner of the MAC Award given annually in the top 10. Cut this out and remove it. Well, it's supposed to be a staple of accomplishment. The accomplishment is still there. But if you want to distance yourself from the relationship of a young man who you believe now certainly could be involved in a heinous crime such as murder, well, I guess you do what you do. This gets worse. Bill Belichick chimes in most recently. It's a sad, sad day. Bill Belichick shocked and disappointed. Okay, we're not even going to go down that road. 29 past the hour. The fastest 60 minutes in sports. Wow. All right, let's move on. We're not going to do that. Well, we're up against paying some bills anyway, so why don't we just go ahead and try to get that done. How about that? get back to the NFL. No, we're not doing that. No, we're not. All right, guys. Much love. Back in a minute.
With every twist and turn, I need a clean that keeps up. New Olay Fresh Effects Va-Va Vivid Vibrating Bristles. Twist and turn for a Va-Va Vroom Clean. So sparkling fresh. New Olay Fresh Effects.
What's up, everybody? It's your man, Cabby, here with the Kit Kat Chunking Challenge. Now, before we go on, I'm going to take on a challenge myself, which is to do the rest of this video while eating each new Kit Kat Chunky flavor. Hazelnut, white chocolate, and peanut butter, which are in stores right now for a limited time. So,
what is the Kit Kat Chunky Challenge? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's your chance to pick the next Kit Kat Chunky flavor. You can vote right now at www.facebook.com/KitKatCanada. And get a chance to win one of three unbelievable trips. But in addition to your vote, we have three Big League fans competing in three ridiculous challenges. And the winner of each challenge gets 5,000 extra votes for his favorite new Kit Kat Chunky flavor.
Amazing. So go try all three Kit Kat Chunky flavors now. Run on Facebook and stay tuned for some upcoming challenges. Wow, that was a mouthful. You guys don't need these, do you? No?
That's funny stuff. That's a brand new Kit Kat commercial. That's good stuff. Get a chance to check that out. Check this out. Now, many of you know the Chicago Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup 2013, hoisted the cup, and there is a video. And I want you to go out to YouTube if you can. We're just going to play the audio of it because again, there's a music snob out here in Calgary that I think might actually appreciate this. This is Sam Cooke, and it's an iteration of Let the Good Times Roll. And I'm not going to do it justice. I know I'm not. I wish I could. Because there's no video here, but if you can find the Blackhawks Sam Cooke thing, it's on YouTube. It's really, really incredible about letting the good times roll along with the Chicago Blackhawks. But what they did was they took an iteration of the song, and they about a minute and 30 seconds long, and this is what it sounds like.
No, la, la, la. No. A good time roll. I'm gonna stay here till I soothe my soul. If it take all night long, yeah. Everybody, let the good time roll. We gonna stay here till we soothe our souls. If it take all night long.
Is that good stuff or what? Now, you got to see it with the video because it's inner city Chicago. It's the L. It's all downtown. Yeah, it is awesome. But anyway, let the good times roll again. For those of us still reeling and celebrating the championship, let me call out my friends on the East Coast just real quick because many of you who are listening to the show, follow the show, know that during the actual finals, we had people calling in from the East Coast slamming the Chicago Blackhawks after and with all due respect to the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Boston Pittsburgh coming. I mean, they just literally ran over them. A four-game sweep. Pittsburgh was out the gate. It was kind of sad for those of us up here because Jerome McGinley was on the squad, and a lot of us wanted to see him at least get to the finals. Again, a lot of them wanted to see him win a championship, and they thought that was his best opportunity with Pittsburgh playing with Sidney Crosby. It just didn't pan out. They ran into an absolute juggernaut in the Boston Bruins. And after that sweep, people had it pegged that Boston was going to go and just lace Chicago. There's one problem with that perspective. You don't play the game on paper. You play it on the ice. And the Blackhawks figured a way how to deal with some of the big, you know, Patrice Bergerons and Chara. And before you knew it, game six came. And, well, here, don't let me tell you. Here, let me have some fun. Let me just do what I need to do here. All right? Give me 5 minutes. I got 25 more in the show. Let's do it. On the East Coast. Just remember, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Y'all got to deal with me on this one.
Joel, do you have an update on Taze?
Tazer, we're hopeful he'll be ready next game. Upper body, you know, we'll see how he is tomorrow.
Looked like he was kind of bending ear to get back in the game. Was he trying to get back in?
Yeah, I checked on him a couple times there. I think he wanted to play.
Chicago zone. Bickle, they force a turnover. Here's Kane to Kane. 2-on-1, hustling back his point. Now a shot. Goal! Patrick Kane in overtime!
Ah, yes. Ah, the sweet taste of victory. Good stuff. Whether it was the Los Angeles Kings or the Boston Bruins, the Chicago Blackhawks got out of the gate fast, started strong, got into stable mode, played great hockey that season, and at the end hoisted the Stanley Cup. And the city of Chicago and its 3 million inner city, 6.5 million around the area, 7.22 past 159th Street, celebrate the 2013 Stanley Cup championships. Yeah, that just feels good. I'm sorry. To my friends in Boston, you have Jerome. That may make the difference. Your team's getting a little older, but yeah, certainly Jerome's got a lot of value left, and a lot of speed, a lot of talent left, and hopefully, yeah. And again, Chicago, it's very hard to repeat in the NHL as champions. You know, teams tend to do the financial thing; they fire sell some of their talent that they can to get themselves away from the salary cap, and they sacrifice, you know, one or two seasons to build back up for another run. That's exactly what the Chicago Blackhawks did. 2010, the star of that team, even though Jonathan Toews may have gotten, you know, team captain and MVP, he wasn't the actual star of that team. The star of that team was Dustin Byfuglien, and people tend to forget what Byfuglien meant to that 2010 squad. More importantly, that he was the first guy gone once that season ended. And so he's still playing. He's with the Jets now. But even still, it is the nature of the business, unfortunately, and we see some of the guys now that were part of this year's team that have already been bounced. Marian Hossa. Kane's not going anywhere. They're going to keep their core guys together. You know, Roosevelt was kind of a bright spot near the end of the season, so they're going to give him a shot for at least one more season. And if, by pure chance, the Blackhawks find a way to repeat as Stanley Cup champions, well, it gets that much harder for Wirtz. But let's face it, they've got a good business model right now. And it's sad that it took the death of Daddy Wirtz, the big man, the old man Wirtz, to open this up for not only the fans, but also for the media. I mean, they were blacking out Blackhawks game when the old man was in charge because he couldn't sell out the arena. Well, all that whole model's been changed now. Things are happy-go-lucky and hunky-dory in the United Center and in the Chicago hockey world. So is Chicago Hockey Town USA? It'll probably never, ever be Hockey Town USA. That title will probably be reserved for either Boston or for Detroit. And right now, I think it's probably leaning more toward Detroit. The Red Wings, over the Chicago Blackhawks in that series. They could have taken Chicago out had they stuck to their guns. I don't know if Babcock did something different or if something changed, or if Chicago just simply woke up. Whatever you want to peg it for, it was the neat thing. As a Blackhawks fan, I look up, I'm seeing the Red Wings. Oh, man, we're down 3-1 to Detroit. Knowing how Detroit has owned the Blackhawks historically, you're thinking to yourself, this is probably not going to work out this year. It's been a great run. Try to find some positives, get ready for next year. And before you know it, it's 3-2, and then it's 3-3. Then you go back to Chicago for game 7, and now you're feeling pretty good about the situation. And not only do you win it, but you win it convincingly. Get yourself ready for the finals, and bang, 6 games in, you're hoisting Stanley Cup. So, not a bad little look. Not bad at all. In the meantime, let's see. What have we not touched on? I don't want to touch on college football today. That'll be right around the corner soon enough. I know the preseason picks are. I'm actually trying to convince my daughter to continue USC. So for anyone who has an insight on that, feel free to give me a call at 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. Now, for those of you NFL heads, and I know there are plenty of you out there. Last week there were over 3,000 of you guys out there. Here's what I want to do. Moving forward, as we get close to September, I want you to contact this show, and I want you to tell me your picks for the season, and then tell me why. Don't just throw out a pick and then hang up the phone, because you all are good for that. Don't do that. Give me the reason. I want you to call. If you're a Bears fan, call me and tell me why you think the Bears with Mark Trestman are going to run the table and do what they do. If you're a Viking fan, give me a reason why Adrian Peterson can rush for another 2,000 yards. If you're a Redskin fan with RG3 coming back, let me know what you feel about it. Maybe you're a Patriots fan on the East Coast because the East Coast loves this show. Now, you tell me why Tom Brady and the Patriots are going to come back and be something strange. And if you're a Miami Dolphin fan, you may have a reason why. I don't know if you can contend with the Patriots, but you got some talent. You're going to have to shoot yourself in the foot a lot of times to try to lose some games. And I think you've got a fourth or fifth place schedule this year, so you could make some noise. The one team that always seems to hurt my heart is the Kansas City Chiefs. I've got friends in Kansas City. I love the stadium. It's the best stadium in the NFL for an open-air stadium. It's loud. It's close to the field. There are no bad seats in Arrowhead Stadium. It just doesn't exist. So anyway, if you ever get a chance to get down to a Kansas City Chiefs football game, you need to go. That's an experience. In terms of dome stadiums, if you ever get to St. Louis, go to see a Rams game. It is loud. It's exciting. The Rams this year, this could be a Sam Bradford breakout year. So we'll see. So for my NFL heads, you need to start getting ramped up. I know I'm a little late with the fantasy football stuff. I apologize. for those of you who know me, that's not typically how I roll. It's already August. Camps have already started, and we'd already have all the stuff out there for you guys. Figuring out who you want to draft and where you want, how you think that draft should go. Historically, though, the draft is almost always 3 days before the first game of the season, and that is because you want to get the final rosters in place so you kind of know exactly who you got, who you want to start, so you're not looking at goose eggs because you thought someone was going to be there and they wound up being cut. Okay, so we may line that thing up around the last cuts as well, but that'll be the fun pieces of fantasy football when it's time. So, wherever you're at in this world, just remember, yours truly, Vinny Moore, love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And today's fun question is, whatever happened? Whatever happened to Ricky Williams? There's an article on ESPN, under the ESPN Fantasy Football section, that says, I can be a role model as a coach. Ricky Williams? Mr. I Get High? This is... you just want to hit that third of the track. I get high, 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 high. anyway, well, you know, Ricky may have turned over a new leaf. I know he's a parent. He's trying to get some things together. Hopefully they didn't make him pay back all that money, that the signing bonus he had from, I guess it was Miami, about $8 million. So maybe he's got a little horsepower left in the tank, and maybe he wants to do something something good with it. So I'm not going to shame the man for his efforts. Maybe that's going to work out for him. And whatever happened to Dante Culpepper? Did he just get too old and just kind of fade away quietly? Because Dante Culpepper, once upon a time, was 6'5", 270, playing quarterback, gun of an arm, and throwing to a young Randy Moss and a Viking team that, with Dennis Green was a coach, was pretty exciting to watch and pretty hard to stop. But I know he went to that little junior league in the NFL. I forget what it's called now. It wasn't USFL. It was after that, but whatever, IFL, whatever it was, and he was there for a while. And I'm just curious as to whatever happened to some of those guys. That league still even around? Past the hour, the fastest 60 minutes in sports rolls on. Someone's going to have a breakout season. Someone on some team. Now, most prognosticators believe that team might be the Miami Dolphins, but I tend to disagree. And that's not out of the normal for me. Let's see. Camp date, schedule. Let's look at the schedule for the National Football League real quick. The Baltimore Ravens, after losing Ray Lewis in retirement, come back off a Super Bowl championship. Are they going to repeat as champions? That answer is no. This is the luxury about this show. This is recorded. So if I tell you this and someone says I said this, I can't even refute it because it's recorded. I can simply go back to the archive and replay it again and see exactly what I said. The Baltimore Ravens will not repeat as NFL champions. They will not. The Denver Broncos. Can the Denver Broncos with Peyton Manning win a championship? Absolutely. That team, if Von Miller is healthy and that defense is in good shape, the New England Patriots, can they win a title? Anytime you've got Tom Brady, you've got a shot. The Buffalo Bills, can they make some noise? Notice we asked if they can make some noise, and not can they win a championship. Yes, this is an indictment of Buffalo and that organization. I'd just like to see Buffalo compete. That'd be a good start. Just simply compete. All right. I do like the fact that in the breakdown of stadiums for week one, they've actually listed the number of tickets left for opening day. Really? Huh. You know who's struggling to sell out is the Detroit Lions. Why is that? Minnesota comes to Detroit for that day, and there's still 12,000 seats left. Wow. Green Bay goes to San Francisco, and there's still 10,000 seats left for that game. Okay, that's unusual. The Giants are going to Dallas. Well, that's a big stadium, though. 13,000 seats left for that one. That's not abnormal. That's a huge stadium in Dallas, the brand-new stadium. People, so yeah, that's not bad. Only 2,000 left in Chicago for Cincinnati at Chicago. Only 2,800 left in New Orleans for Atlanta. That's going to be a huge game at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome on September the 8th. So here's what we'll do. Next week, we're going to run down week one of the National Football League because we're going to be into August, right? We're going to be into August. We're going to have a little fun. We'll be broadcasting from Chicago next week. So that in and of itself is always fun. And we're going to run down all the week one games. Now, there's a Thursday game, September the 5th, Baltimore at Denver. That'll get the season started. And then, of course, the 8th. And, of course, Monday's your Monday night, actually two Monday night games on the 9th. That's going to be a lot of fun. Philadelphia, Washington, Houston, and San Diego. And they do this usually for the first week of the first Monday of the season. Just something they do. Anyway, so week one, over the world. That's right, you Banks, I want you to chime in too. I want everyone. If you're an NFL head, I want you to go through week one schedule, the schedule, and you tell me who you think is going to dominate week one. Now, for those of you sportsbook knuckleheads that want to play the survival games at the MGM Grand, you can do this by simply going out to finding your sportsbook, whichever sportsbook you're working with. There is a game out there that will allow you to pick the winner. Now, here's how the game is played. You pick a winner for a given week. Once you've used that team, you cannot use that team ever again. Now, the next set of schedule will come out, and you'll have to pick a winner for that week. As long as the team that you pick keeps winning on that given week, you're still in the game. Once your team loses, you're eliminated from the game. Now, here's the fun thing. If you win, you win $50,000. It costs nothing to do this. But if you were that good, and you can continue to strategize and pick winners and hold on to your horse, your big horses for later, more bigger games that you think that they might win, this could be something special. Now, I truly have actually I've played this game now two seasons now, and I've gotten all the way to week 13 in one season and week 15 in the other. That close. This game is open to anyone who simply has a bank account and doesn't mind, giving them an avenue for having $50,000 deposited into it. All you have to do is be willing to pick the winners. That's it. If you're willing to do that, that is a fun game, and you're just into the season that much more. And again, it's a lot of fun. All right, 10 left. 10 left in this week's edition of the Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports. Yours truly, Vinny Moore. Let's get an update on the NASCAR race that's going on right now. Lap 84, number one, Brad Keselowski is now taking the lead. Joey Logano is number two. Jeff Gordon up to three. Jimmy Johnson is sixth. Kenseth is seventh. Kyle Busch, eighth. Tony Stewart, nine. And Juan Pablo Montoya has dropped to 10th, 10 seconds off the leader. All right. That's your update on the race. An update on anything in Major League Baseball we need to know about. What's going on the scoreboard? Anything new? No new games have started at this point. Indians have finally gotten a run on the board against the Rangers. Marlins and Pirates, 3-2 Marlins. That game is in the seventh inning. What is that? I'm not sure what that means, but okay. That's the same game. Okay, that was just odd. Rays and Yankees are now tied at 5. Nationals at 8-1. They're dominating the Mets right now. Blue Jays. Now, let me tell you something. This will be my baseball love for Toronto now. The Toronto Blue Jays on paper are one of the best teams in baseball. Okay? That to me, I know they lost Jose Reyes early season, but it makes no sense to me that that much talent is 9 games under 500. The Chicago Cubs, after being one of the worst teams and fire selling and saying we're going to go young, we're going to start all over again, bringing in Theo Epstein, hiring a whole new GM staff, they're 47-55, 8 games under 500, playing the Giants after winning last night 1-0. How are the Toronto Blue Jays comparable to the Cubs? I'm struggling with this, all right? I mean, name me the big name on the Cubs. They just traded Soriano to the Yankees, so that god-awful contract hopefully is gone now, never to return. But how with Batista, with Reyes healthy now, with R.A. Dickey, I mean, I'm struggling to see the Blue Jays 9 games under 500, okay? And I know they've been kind of setting out the gate, but I still believe that the Blue Jays will be heard of this year. It may just take an amazing run. I don't know when that's going to happen, but it better happen. We're past the All-Star break now, so if it's going to happen, it's got to start pretty quickly here. But they're just way too talented. They really are. And they're a fun team to watch, too. They really are. Houston and Houston Blue Jays tied at 1. Tigers and Phillies tied at 3. Red Sox, a 3-0 lead over the Orioles. Now, for those of you baseball heads, did you see David Ortiz's explosion last night? And I don't mean explosion at the plate where he hit a ball a very long way. The count was 3-1. The next pitch is high. The umpire does not call it high. He calls it a strike. A foul ball, an inside pitch with Ortiz swings and misses. It goes from 3-1 to him striking out. And when he strikes out, he has words with the umpire, which many Major League ball players do, about that 3-1 pitch that was high to the ball. Keep in mind, he's taking the arm wrist off, he's tossed the bat away because he knows this is ball 4. And the umpire basically says, nope, that's a strike. And he goes back into the dugout. Now, the rage, it may have been launched by the fact that he was called out. That is true. That may be true. But what he does with this baseball bat against the phone, this is the dugout phone that you call the bullpen with, looked almost like a steroid rage. It really did. This looked like something in your system has got your pH levels way out of whack because you just lost it, and you took it out on this dugout phone. Now, and Ortiz has got plenty of money. It's nothing. He'll drop a couple of bucks. He'll probably replace the phone at no charge to the stadium. I'm sure they've got maintenance. This is nothing new. But that kind of anger and explosion over a strike 3 call, or literally, or a bad pitch call, it looked questionable. Yeah, and to say questionable in the essence of he didn't really have a reason or justification to lose it quite like that. I mean, they're a great ball player, certainly those, you know, even higher on the rung than Ortiz, that have been rung up by umpires maybe trying to make a name for themselves. But for him to lose it quite like that just seemed incredibly questionable, incredibly extreme, and I just and I'm an Ortiz fan. I love Big Poppy. I think he's great. I mean, I've watched him work with kids. It's amazing to see. And that just so did not look like him at all. At all. So anyway, let's just hope there's nothing to it. Just hope maybe it's just one of those things where things are just a little out of balance for my boy. He just wasn't feeling it. And, you know, it'll all work itself out pretty well. Because, again, I am a Big Poppy fan. And I want to see good things happen for the Red Sox and for Big Poppy as well. All right. Let's see. Five left in the hour. Five left in the show. For all my wonderful friends in Calgary and my new friends in Calgary, I want to thank you so much for being a part of the Fastest 60 Minute Sports. Even if you did nothing but chime in and listen, for those of you hitting up on the tech side, I'm purposely ignoring you because some of the things I'm saying are just absolutely wacky. I don't know what's going to happen with the Saddle Dome. Hopefully they can take care of those first 14 rows because the season is coming, and I really hope the Calgary Flames are they're not a bad team. I contend to you. They just need to get out of the gate fast and hold their own. Stop getting caught up in these stagnant moments because, it kills me when you do that. Anyway, just one man's opinion. All right, that's all. Just one man's opinion. One sportscaster fanatic's opinion. But next week on the Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports, you, me, NFL picks. So, who's your Super Bowl pick? And I double dare you to bring me reason why the San Francisco 49ers might win a Super Bowl next year. Okay? Or if you're really so bold and so rambunctious, tell me why the Baltimore Ravens would even repeat if they can. I'm going to tell you right now. I'll save you the headache. The Ravens won't repeat. Okay, not without Ray Ray, and Ray Lewis isn't going to be there. Now they got some talent, and Flacco's going to get it. He's got a nice payday and everything. He's got some weapons, and Ray Rice will be there. But you don't have Ray Lewis on the field, you don't have a championship. Okay, I don't know what version of Terrell Suggs is going to come back. Hopefully, he's back with a vengeance and being Terrell Suggs, the Terrell Suggs we know and love. But we'll see. Anyway, yeah, you can definitely talk your ears off about some NFL. So week one, here's your rundown for week one. Browns, Falcons at Saints, Buccaneers at Jets, Titans at Steelers, Vikings at Lions, Raiders at Colts, Seahawks at Panthers, Chiefs at Jaguars, Cardinals at Rams, Packers at 49ers, Giants at Cowboys, Eagles at Skins, Texans at Chargers. Okay. Oh, and the Thursday night game gets all started, the Ravens at Denver. And I will be absolutely stunned if Denver doesn't go in there and blow Baltimore out. Okay, Denver, they should largely have a chip on their shoulders after everything that happened in the playoff game last year. That game is almost sold out as we speak. It's going to be a fun night at Sports Authority Field at the Mile High. Anyway, so that's it next week. For those of you who love to replay the game over and over again, which happens every – we seem to get like 13,000 replays of the show. So we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We appreciate it. The show that it is. We look forward to having a wonderful conversation with all of you. 619-639-4747. 619-639-4747. That's the number to contact the show at any time. So, to my love, to the family, my family, Richton Park, love all you guys. Those that love me and those that don't love me, I still love you, and nothing you can do about it. To my talented daughter traveling today, be safe. You know I love you, and I want you to get home safely. To my boys, Charles, Chris, and everyone else, y'all some knuckleheads, man. Oh, let me say it, Roadhouse. There we go. To my boy Corey out there in Florida, cowboy butt sex. There, I said it. Okay, now you happy? I said it on the air for the world to see. Cowboy butt sex. All right. I know you don't understand. You don't have to. That's going to do it for our show today. Thank you so much for being a part of the Fast 60 Minutes of Sports. We'll see you next time only right here on the Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports. There we go. See you next week.